Division 1, The Desires of Love, Song of Solomon, Chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, Chapter 1, Verse 1. As indicated by this song, there was an actual courtship and marriage between Solomon and a Shulamite woman. It stands here in the middle of the Bible as the divine pattern of true affection between lover and love. It corresponds beautifully with Ephesians 5:25, which states, "Husbands, love your wives." The spiritual and typical lessons which the song contains demand for it a prominent place in the holy writings. You will understand the song more readily if you continually bear in mind that the king is addressed as beloved and the woman as love. There are four Hebrew words translated love in this song. The first is dod, which expresses the nature, attitude, and power of affection. It is used in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, chapter 4, verse 10, and chapter 7, verse 12. The second is aheb, the verb or affection in action. It occurs 7 times, for example, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 and 7. The third is royah. It is affection personified and means a lady friend. In the song, the king addresses his lady friend as love 9 times. For instance, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 9 and 15, and chapter 2, verse 2, etc. The Revised Version and the German render the word friend throughout. We prefer the Authorized rendering because it is more in keeping with the deep devotion of the song. The fourth word for love is ahaba, which is affection as an abstract quality. It occurs 11 times. For example, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 and 7, and chapter 3, verse 10. Let us appreciate the deep love that each of these friends had for the other, then see in Solomon a type of Christ, the coming bridegroom, and in the fair woman a type of the full overcomers in the church as his bride, and we shall obtain rich nourishment for the new man. The first strain. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. This is the expression of affection as we all understand. The woman seems to be the aggressor in this courtship, but the king's previous attentions are implied. She seeks him because he had before sought her. Likewise, we should seek the Lord that we may know him and enjoy his fellowship. Indeed, the bridal saints exclaim, "We love him because he first loved us." They run after him. Apparently, they are the aggressors in the courtship. They do not hide their fervent desire. They say to others, "Let me love him. He has brought me into his chambers. He entices my attention." Then turning to Solomon, she modestly says, "Thy love is better than wine." The cup exhilarates, intoxicates, drives away sorrow, and drowns trouble. But real love does all that, and much more. It touches and warms the heart of the friend, satisfying her desires. Yes, the love of Christ to those who really know him is better than the most intoxicating blessings. It is more than gifts or answers to prayer or works done or miracles wrought. The love of Christ constraineth us, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the apostle declares. A true bride loves her bridegroom for himself rather than for what he does on her behalf. Thine ointments have a goodly fragrance, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3, Revised Version. The word ointment is the same as for oil in Psalm 45:7 and Psalm 92:10. Primarily, this refers to Jesus' anointing with the Holy Spirit, because his name is as ointment poured forth. The fragrance, fullness, and power of his name flow all around on account of his being filled with the Spirit. When Jesus came out of the wilderness into Galilee, there went a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Luke 4, verse 14. Song of Solomon 4, verse 10 indicates that the Shulamite partook of his goodly ointments. If we love and follow Jesus with all our heart, we too will receive the same anointing with the oil of gladness, Hebrews 1, 9, with which he was anointed. When we read the precious word of the Lord, we feel his good ointments. The name of Jesus becomes so precious, so sweet, that to hear it mentioned lovingly, tenderly, is just like fresh oil poured over us. The heart warms toward Jesus and dances. The soul leaps and the fire burns within us. The place and power of the name of Jesus as the head of the church is very little understood. How much less is the fragrance of his name felt as the husband of the coming mystical bride? Therefore do the virgins love thee, Song of Solomon 1 verse 3. If the sweet aroma of Jesus' name does not induce the love of other saints to him, nothing else will. How to win others. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Song of Solomon 1:4. Draw me, we will run after thee. We would have expected her to say, draw us. Believers usually pray, Lord, draw them or make other saints follow thee. But the effectual manner to get others enthused over our Lord is to be enthused ourselves. Like begets like. Love awakens love. If we run fervently after the Lord, some others will imitate us. Hence this typical bride cries, draw me, then we, I and the virgins, will run after thee. Sometimes people are very much concerned about the salvation of souls. They say that men are dying without the gospel and going to hell, which is very true, but they never once speak as if they had any pity for Jesus. They pity only the sinner. They talk of a passion for souls, but never have a passionate love for Christ, the sinner's Savior. All their sympathy goes out for the people. The heartfelt condition of the Shulamite was not for the virgins or daughters, but for the king himself. Mary sat at Jesus' feet to learn his word, to know and love him for himself. Hence her most praiseworthy act, while Jesus was still alive, was anointing her Lord's body for his burial after his death. Our God wants a people whose first sympathy and whose deepest feelings are for him. When he can draw us to himself, then others will follow in due time and due measure and in the right way. God will draw them by the Spirit and not we by the flesh. The cry of the fair maiden was heard, for she shouted immediately, the king hath brought me into his chambers. What is a chamber but a place of rest? Why did Solomon bring the Shulamite into his chamber? That he might talk to her, that he might perpetuate the courtship in view of a future life of happiness and union together. Why does Jesus bring us into his chambers? For the very same purpose, that he may speak to our hearts, that he may comfort and instruct us, that he may transform us by fellowship with himself, that we may look like him, that we may breathe his very life, that we may be thrilled with his spirit and nature, and that we may shine like Moses did with the presence of God in our faces. God help us to yield to his bringing us in. Then, when we go out, we will go out effectually. Jesus is jealous for his people today. He wants to speak to them to reveal himself. He wants to prepare us for the rapture and for the glory which shall follow. He does not want any of us to miss the greatest and best that Calvary has purchased for us as his people. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. All the daughters and virgins will be glad because the king brings his dearest friend into the closest fellowship with himself, and they shall reap benefits therefrom. How true that is! If we are drawn into the secret place of the Most High, others will be drawn in also. If we learn to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, others will learn it too. If we put Christ first, ahead of our own interest, gifts, blessings, and achievements, others will be induced to do the same. Younger and weaker saints will learn to give to Jesus Christ the place which the Father requires.